From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a deeper dive into stories from our radio newsrooms across the nation. Today, On Deadline is checking in with the ongoing trial of former President Donald Trump in New York City. Trump has been charged with 34 felony counts of falsifying business records in regards to an alleged hush money payment made to porn star Stormy Daniels. At the time of this recording, he's been in court for almost 4 full weeks. That's 4 weeks of sitting in a courtroom when pundits say he should really be in presidential campaign mode. So, what's taking so long? While the first few weeks of the trial included jury selection, opening arguments, and numerous reprimands for violating a court-imposed gag order, it also included lots of witness testimony, some of which doesn't appear very positive for Trump and his team, according to observers. Among those to testify was Hope Hicks. She was a former top aide in the Trump White House who said on the stand that Trump's 2016 campaign was thrown into chaos when the infamous Access Hollywood tape was released. For those who don't remember, Trump was caught on tape making a very graphic comment about a part of the female anatomy he could grab onto. Hicks also testified that Trump had told her to deny any news of payments made to Daniels at his direction, saying that lawyer Michael Cohen decided to make the payment out of the goodness of his heart. She testified that, even at the time, that didn't really make any sense. David Pecker, a veteran tabloid publisher and a longtime friend of Trump, testified that while covering the 2016 election, he had suppressed critical stories about Trump, instead working to discredit his opponents. What could be the most damaging for Trump during this trial is evidence that suggests he was behind the decision to pay Daniels. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum joined Odyssey to share more on that evidence and the case overall.
What we had was the cross-examination of the lawyer who negotiated both the hush money contract and the catch-and-kill contract, meaning for Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal. And during cross-examination, basically, you know, what the Trump's lawyer is saying is, look, you're not even a lawyer. You're a shakedown artist. You do this for a living, they're saying to the lawyer. Your job is to basically blackmail celebrities to make sure that they keep, that your clients keep their mouth shut. And they said, did you not represent people against Britney Spears? They rolled out all the famous people that this attorney has reached out to. So like, don't even dignify yourself. You're here just to shake down people. So why should we care what you have to say? So that was spicy, and included within that was recorded testimony from Michael Cohen and Donald Trump, in which obviously Michael Cohen recorded his conversations in order to one day establish that the ideas behind the payments to these women was not his, that the president was involved in them, that, you know, because that's been the argument here. Donald Trump is merely paying his legal fees. He's a billionaire. He's got lots of lawyers working for him. He has no idea what's going on. He's not involved in any, you know, granular way. And the reason they produced the tape recordings is to hear Donald Trump say, yeah, you know, let's create money in an account and open the account and pay Stormy Daniels and pay Karen McDougal.
How impactful do you think that phone conversation will be?
You know, if it was in another, it was a red state, Margie, it wouldn't make a difference. In New York City, it probably does make a difference. The reason I'm saying that is that after the Access Hollywood tape, if you remember, by the way, remember the Access Hollywood tape, Margie? Everyone is now saying that this is why these payments were created, that even though the red states didn't seem to care about that Access Hollywood, they didn't want repetitions of it. And they were afraid that if Karen McDougal's name became public and if Stormy Daniels' names become public, they go, oh, you know, this has reached a point of, you know, it's just way too sordid a person to elect as the president. So it was in that spirit that Donald Trump and his advisors say, we got to keep this one under wraps. So I don't know. I mean, you know, the argument, I think there is an argument that Donald Trump is an alternative argument is to say, even if I knew all about this, even if I'm on the call telling my lawyer, you know what, just pay these women off, so what? So what? There's nothing illegal about that.
Wait a minute,
and I think
Thane.
That's an
alternate. Wait a minute, Thane. That's not what he's accused of breaking the law about. It's the way it was, right, put down as legal expenses when they allegedly weren't.
Right. But see, remember, here's the thing. Here's a little, get a little legalistic for you, Eric. That law, that crime is a misdemeanor that the statute of limitations has already passed on. And honestly, if they only come in and make the argument that this is really about the falsification of the business record, a jury could end up saying, I know, but it the statute of limitations has already passed. The hook here that turns misdemeanors into felonies is the intention to violate campaign finance laws. And they're going to have to prove that Donald Trump was not trying to preserve his marriage, or for that matter, to keep his reputation better in the public. They're going to have to prove that he willfully, intentionally paid this money in order to interfere with the election and in order to donate to his campaign financially. That's a tough, that's a big lift, right? Because there could always be a juror that's going to sit there and say, I think he wanted to keep his marriage afloat. By the way, that's why that question was asked of the National Enquirer publisher last week when they said, did you ever hear Melania Trump's name mentioned? That was why they did that, because they wanted him to say, no, he could care less about his wife. This was all about the election. And on cross-examination, they said, you're saying he never mentioned his wife? I mean, people were wondering, why did they do that? Why did they? Because if he was really trying to save his marriage, Eric, there's nothing illegal about that. People enter into non-disclosure agreements every single day. And let me last thing about the falsification of business records. Here's an argument that I would have made that they may not be making, which is to say, it makes no sense to pay someone off to not speak, which is totally legal, and then to, in the business records, enter the line that says, paid someone off to keep their mouth shut. That it's unlikely that you would have actually gone to the trouble to do that and then actually recorded it as the very thing you're trying to hide. And the last thing is, you know whose records these are? They're not even Donald Trump's. They belong to his lawyer. Donald Trump doesn't have any records of it. So that's why you're saying, well, who's really committed the falsification of business records? Is it Trump? Or was it his lawyer? Trump continues to maintain, I'm taking advice of my lawyer. That's what we're supposed to do. That's why I paid him.
While Michael Cohen has not yet taken the stand, jurors heard a lot from the former Trump lawyer thanks to recordings played in court. Cohen has maintained for some time that it was not his decision to pay Daniels to keep her quiet about her and Trump's alleged affair. With the prosecution leaning on his recounting of events, more recordings were shared with the court detailing what he said happened. Peter Haralambos of ABC joined Odyssey at the beginning of the fourth week of the trial to share more on what the court heard in Cohen's recordings.
Yes, Michael Cohen wasn't on the witness stand yesterday, but jurors heard plenty about him, including hearing secret recordings he made with Stormy Daniels' lawyer, Keith Davidson. Interestingly, we saw a secret recording in which Cohen reflected how Donald Trump regretted the famous Stormy Daniels hush money payment. Cohen reflecting in that secret recording that Donald Trump told him multiple times that he hated the fact that he made the payment, though at the end of the day, multiple people told him it was the right thing to do at the time.
Do we know anything about Trump himself testifying in this trial?
Interestingly, Trump appeared to reverse course yesterday on that matter. On at least three occasions previously, Trump has indicated that he wanted to testify, but as he left court this yesterday, he said that the gag order in the case, which prohibits him from making statements about witnesses and jurors in the case, might prohibit him from being able to testify. There's a possibility he misspoke on his way out based on the question that he was asked at the time. But it seemed yesterday that he might be getting cold feet about the possibility of testifying. Though, if he did opt to take a stand in his own defense, that would likely happen a few weeks from now. So it seems like it's going to have to be a decision made in some time, not like tomorrow or later this week.
What's up next?
So right now, we actually have a custodian. So right now, he's an employee for the Manhattan District Attorney's Office who's on the witness stand right now. He's the person who received Michael Cohen's phones when they were given to the Manhattan DA's office for this investigation. Prosecutors are using this witness to get those phones into evidence. They have really important evidence in the case, including a secret recording that Cohen made of a conversation with Trump related to this Karen McDougal payment. And that payment, on that recording, Trump suggests they make the payment in cash, and kind of shows Trump's alleged involvement in the entire payment.
And there's more. Judge Juan Merchan, who's overseeing Trump's case, placed a gag order on the former president, barring him from posting about witnesses, jurors, and others connected with the trial. Trump has continued to defy Mershon, resulting in numerous fines and even a threat to be thrown behind bars. In an order delivered last week, Mershon wrote that in some cases, quote, jail may be a necessary punishment for violating the order. What the gag order does is prevent Trump from attacking the jury. And in his written order, Mershon said that Trump violated the order in an interview he gave on April 22nd. That jury was picked so fast, 95% Democrats. The area's mostly all Democrat, Trump said on Real America's Voice. It's a very unfair situation, that I can tell you, he said. Trump is challenging the gag order, arguing that it is unconstitutional and that he should have the right to speak freely. Quinnipiac Professor John Pavia joined Odyssey to share more on the gag order.
Professor, good to talk with you again. So on what grounds might the former president sue to get that gag order tossed out?
Well, Steve, thanks for having me on. It's going to be that the judge abused his discretion and that his conduct didn't warrant the judge finding that he violated the gag order. Now, again, anybody in this country can sue for anything. From what I've seen and the way the judge has conducted himself, you know, he didn't whack the former president right away. You know, he had a hearing on it. Each violation was $1,000. I doubt it's gonna go anywhere if he ends up suing.
Donald Trump has said that witnesses, in particular Michael Cohen, can talk about the case while he, Trump, is stifled. Does he kind of have a point there?
I mean, at first blush, you would think so, right? But the difference is what he's being accused of is President Trump is that there's a goal, there's an intent, a malicious intent behind the comments he's making about them, and that is to intimidate these witnesses so that they feel less free to say what's on their mind and give unvarnished testimony. So there's a difference there, and I don't know that any of these witnesses have been out there, you know, saying sort of the caustic things about him, although Cohen certainly has, but in a way that would intimidate him. So I think that's the big difference.
In the end, do you think the gag order will be tossed out or at least neutered, watered down a little bit?
No, I don't. It may be watered down a little bit, but I don't think so. Maybe clarified, but I'm not thinking it's going to get watered down.
All right.
The judges are there to protect people who are coming in to testify, and so I think the judge feels that's what he needs to do, and I don't get a sense that that's going to get overturned.
Trump's case is expected to run for another 4 weeks or so. But what does either side have to do to actually win? Prosecutors need to prove the funds that Trump paid Cohen, that's $35,000 a month, were meant to reimburse Cohen for the $130,000 he paid Daniels before the 2016 election, plus a bonus and enough money to cover taxes. What Trump allegedly got out of the deal was Daniels' silence. Prosecutors say she agreed to remain quiet about the alleged sexual encounter with Trump from years earlier. He denies the encounter even happened. The former president maintains that his company was simply paying Cohen as a lawyer, not as reimbursement for paying Daniels. Deborah Tarasoff, a Trump Organization accounts payable supervisor, said under questioning that she did not get permission to cut the checks in question from Trump himself. You never had any reason to believe that President Trump was hiding anything or anything like that? Asked Trump attorney Todd Blanche. Correct, Tarasoff replied. Can the former president prove that the payments to Cohen were business as usual and not an illegal payment meant to save his 2016 campaign? Soon, the jury will decide, and we'll see what impact this all has on his 2024 campaign. This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strouser, and by me. I'm Lauren Berry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.